Gideon said to him, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." You may be seated.
Thank you, Devin and Benny and Michael, for the men who served on the Lord's table, for leading us in worship this morning. Please open up in your copy of God's Word to the book of Judges. We're going to be studying from this story about Gideon, a very famous story, and looking at it from, I think, the main message of this passage about finding strength in God. We'll begin with the question, what are your fears? What are you afraid of today? Are you afraid of some health concern you have? You're afraid of some relationship problem, or a fear of a relationship ending, or a fear of a relationship not beginning? Are you worried about your kids? Maybe those adult grown kids that you're fearing for things going on in their life and worries you have in your heart about them. Maybe you've been watching the news a lot lately and you're fearing all kinds of things that the news puts out there, from the virus that's going on in China and Asia, to this being an election year, to taxes coming up, financial worries with that, concerns. Maybe you think about the moral state of our nation and you get very frightful for what the future of our nation and what kind of world our kids are going to be living in 20, 30 years from now. Maybe in your heart, you're afraid of your finances and concerns with how you're going to pay the bills. We're getting to the end of the month, and maybe there's been more month, even in the shorter month of February, than there's been money in the month. And so you have financial worries. And I would dare say that probably you're like Gideon, who had a lot of fears, but he was hiding from the Midianites in this wine press, treading out grain. Now that's a lot of problems there if you really stop and think about it, because he's supposed to be treading out grain in an open air area so that way the chaff and the other things could be blown and it could be a threshing floor, was an out in an open flat area. But he's hiding in a wine press. And I would say most of us, our fears, we probably aren't telling anybody about them this morning. We haven't talked about them, haven't vocalized them, except maybe those that are closest to us. Our fears are often held in tightly. And hopefully we're praying about them, but maybe we haven't even told God about them. When we look at this passage of Gideon, we see that he's hiding because he's afraid. If you go back and look at the first 10 verses of this chapter, you realize that the Midianites, this enemy people of Israel, were oppressing them. And they had driven the Israelites, verse 2, into the dens in the mountains, in caves, in strongholds. So they were having to be so fearful of the Midianites that they were living in caves and dens and hiding out. And these Midianites, with their armies and their camels, they would come in and they would devour the land, verse 4. And they would leave no sustenance in Israel, no sheep or ox or donkey. They were just taking everything from the children of Israel. So Gideon had a little bit of precious grain because the Midianites had been taking all the rest of the grain and stripping the fields like locusts, it says. They were just taking everything from the children of Israel. And verse 6 says, Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. And the Lord sends a prophet. He's an unnamed prophet. We don't know who he was. But verse 8 says that the Lord sent this prophet, and he says, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians, from the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you, and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." In a time when they are very fearful, at a time when they are hiding because of their fears, God sends a prophet and says, "Don't fear. Don't fear. You're in this mess because you have not obeyed my voice." When we look at the story of Gideon and we think about what main lesson the story of Gideon is teaching, it's talking, first of all, about Gideon's weaknesses in comparison to God's strength. This story really emphasizes how Gideon was weak, and how Israel was weak, and how man is weak, and how God is our source of strength. Notice, Gideon was weak in hope. In verse 11, the irony is that Gideon is called a mighty man of valor while he's hiding out, treading grain in this wine press. And God sees in him what he does not see in himself. God believes in him when he does not believe in himself. He was weak in hope. In verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "Mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you." And Gideon said to him, "Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us." He's lost hope. He feels forsaken. He believes God has abandoned them. It's a great loss of hope by Gideon. If you're frightful and fearful, whenever you're going through problems, often you're weak in hope. Maybe you come here this morning and when you think about the songs that we were just singing, the Glory Land Way, or talking about that heavenly home, your hope is not in those places. Your hope is weak. It's fading. It's fragile hope. Can't really sing those songs with enthusiasm because you don't have that hope because of all the fears of this world. Weak in hope. He's weak in status. Look at verses 14 and 15. He said to the angel, when he's speaking to him here, he says, verse 15, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel?" You got the wrong man. Just like Moses and others who've gone on before him, you've got the wrong man. "Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. I can't even lead my own home. I'm not even someone that is significant in my father's house. I am the least in my clan of my father's house. I'm not a leader in my tribe, not a leader in my group, not a leader even in my father's house. I'm the least." Gideon says he's weak in status. The Lord said, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." He was weak in status. Notice he was weak in courage. In verses 17 and 18, Gideon is going to speak about how he doesn't believe he can do it. Verse 17, he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from here until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you." And he said, "I will stay till you return." Gideon was weak in his courage to face the enemy. He was weak in his courage to go out and do what God is calling him to do. So he begs for a sign. And as you know the Gideon story, this is going to be a common retreat for Gideon. When he feels fear, he says, "God, you got to prove it to me." In chapter 6 here, we've noticed that he wants a sign, and God's going to give him a sign by when he prepares this meal of a young goat and some cakes, that fire from the Lord will consume that as a sign that this was an angelic messenger. This was God speaking to him, and that God is wanting him to do this. But we see later on in the same story, in chapter 6, the same chapter, verse 36 through 40, that Gideon is going to ask for another sign before he will face the Midianites, and this involves a fleece. And Gideon will say, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, behold, I'm going to lay a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece alone, and it is dry all on the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand. And the next morning, sure enough, it was dry all around and the fleece was soaking wet. He wrung out, verse 38, enough dew from the fleece to fill a bowl with water. But that was not enough for Gideon. Gideon was still fearful. He still did not have the courage he needed. He says, God, don't get angry. Don't let your anger burn against me. But let me test you once more. And he said, please let the fleece be dry and let it be dew all on the ground with the fleece being dry. And the next night, it was just as Gideon had asked. And so now Gideon will recruit an army. And in this army, he is ready, and God says, go into battle. This is chapter 7. And he is still not courageous to go into battle. At this time, verse number 9 of chapter 7, the Lord says, go down against the camp. It will be given to you. But look at verse 10. God knows him. God knows he doesn't have courage. God says, but if you are afraid to go down, if you're not ready to go into battle yet, take with you your servant Pura and take him down. And of course, he goes down and he will hear the Midianite encampment talk about a dream that one of them had and about how the Israelites and Gideon army is going to destroy them. And it was a confirmation for Gideon that he was going to win the battle. Notice that Gideon lacked courage all throughout the story. He was weak in courage. He was weak in going ahead and doing what God wanted him to do. And thus he was weak in faith. He didn't really have the trust he needed in God. His courage is when you act. And you'll hear men talk about who have been in battle. And they'll talk about the idea that they were always fearful in battle. But courage was doing what you knew you had to do despite the fear. And Gideon, that's where he's lacking this courage. And it was because he was lacking a faith. Our courage is directly connected to our faith, isn't it? And here Gideon is going to ask those various signs that we've talked about because his faith was weak. And he wants to know, can I really trust you, God? Can I depend upon you? Is your word true? Will you really be with me? You say you're with me, but are you really going to be with me? He was weak in faith. And so we think about who Gideon was. Gideon was someone who was weak in hope. He was weak in his status. He says, I can't really do this. I'm not the leader you need. He was weak in his courage. He was weak in his action and going ahead and doing what he needed to do. And he was weak in his faith. It may be this morning that as you think about your own life and those fears that you're hiding from others, and the fears that you have of whatever you're dealing with, maybe it's your fears even as it comes to being able to serve in the church, and maybe it's your fears in being able to talk to someone else about Jesus or invite someone else to church, or fears you might have in doing a leadership role in the church, either leading a prayer as a man or to serve on the Lord's table, or maybe if it's a lady teaching a children's Bible class, or whatever it is that you want to do, but you have these fears up, and you think, I'm weak in my hope, I'm weak in my status, I don't feel like I can do it, I'm weak in my courage, I just can't seem to take that step and just actually step out there and do it. And really what that means is I'm weak in my faith. Well, I want you to hear the message of Gideon this morning. The message of Gideon is really not a message about how Gideon is the hero. But the story of Gideon is about how God is the hero. You see, what this story teaches us in chapter 6 and 7 is that it's about God's strength. That it is Gideon's weakness that is overcome by the strength of the Lord. God wants us to have courage that is based in Him, not ourselves. When you look at this story, God is going to give him sufficient evidence at every turn to have faith and trust in Him. In chapter 6, God asked him to do a small job, we might say, to begin a small task there of destroying an altar of Baal in a tower of Asherah that was there connected with his hometown. And Gideon, in verses 28 and following, is afraid to do this. He has to take two of his father's bulls and go, and he's going to use one of the bulls to pull down the altar. Then he's going to use the other bull to sacrifice that bull upon a new altar that is erected for Jehovah God, for the Lord. And he tears down this altar that was dedicated to Baal, that the city had erected for Baal. But he's afraid to do it in the daytime. It says that he would not do it in the daytime because he feared. He was afraid. But Gideon destroys this altar. But when they come looking for him, Gideon wouldn't go out and even speak to them about it. He makes his father have to answer about what he had done. Gideon is having to learn, isn't he? Even through it all, he's showing his weakness. But God is bringing about His strength and His sufficiency. And God is going to be able to demonstrate to him as He tests him again with this fleece. And then He says, recruit your army. And this incredible story that we played out in Vacation Bible School and in our children's classes often, where in chapter 7, Gideon recruits 32,000 soldiers to face the Midianites. 32,000 join them. And God says, because remember, what's the theme of the story? Man's weakness, God's strength. God says that's too many soldiers. If we do it with 32,000, it will look like that man did it on his own strength. And so God says, first of all, in verses 2 and following, therefore proclaim, verse 3, in the ears of the people, saying, whoever is fearful, whoever is trembling, let them return home. And 22,000 of the people return. So we cut 32,000 down to 10,000. And Gideon's probably thinking, remember Gideon, the character we've known through this whole story, who's been afraid at every turn, who destroyed the altar at night, who says, God, you got to prove it to me over and over and over. Gideon's probably thinking, 1, 2, they're all leaving. Where are all my soldiers going? All right, 10,000. I can do it with 10,000. And God says to him, can't do it with 10,000. That's too many. That's too large. And so he says, verse number 4, chapter 7, the people are still too many, the Lord said to Gideon. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And any one of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, shall go with you. And any one whom I say, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So God does a little test there with the water, and God is able to cut it from 10,000 to 300. Now I want you to imagine the fearfulness of Gideon. No wonder he wouldn't go right into the battle. Why he had to go down at night and hear the dream of the Midianite soldier? Because he was afraid. He's thinking, we went from 32,000 to 300. And God says, that's the army I want. That's the number I want, because then it will be done by God's strength and not by man's strength. And so he will do the battle. After hearing this dream, he will go up, and in verses 15 through the end of the chapter, he will, using trumpets and using breaking of these clay pots and lanterns and things, they will set the Midianite army in an uproar, and they will disturb them in the night and create chaos in the Midianite army, so that they begin to kill each other, and then they begin to flee. And then they will use some of the other people in the neighborhoods and things to help chase these Midianite army. And they will round up the kings, and they will kill the kings of the Midianite, and they will destroy their army. And chapter 8 tells further about how they destroy the Midianite army. When you think about this story, the main emphasis throughout is Gideon was weak, but he's able to do it because of God's strength. Now, when we observe some lessons from that, there's two lessons that I think we should learn from Gideon. The first lesson is, I must remember that God is my strength and my victory. That God is my strength. That I'm going to be, and you're going to be, a lot like Gideon. We're going to be weak. We're going to feel weak in our hope, weak in our status, weak in our courage, and weak in our faith. We're going to feel like we can't do it, and we want to have an army of 32,000. We believe that the more we have, the more money we have, the more people we have, the more resources, the more security we have in all those kind of material things, the better off we are, because then we can insulate and protect ourselves. But God is saying, it's when you face your fears, it's when you are able to tackle your fears, that you then can realize it's not about your strength, it's about my strength. It's about the strength of God. In Psalm 27, verse number 1, the psalmist says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In Jeremiah 32, the Bible speaks of this message. When Jeremiah is speaking, and he says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Nothing's too hard for God. Jesus would say, when he taught us about this, that nothing is impossible for God. In chapter 8 of the book of Romans, Paul talks using some of this Old Testament language. He would talk about this same idea about how we can overcome our fears and about how Christ has died for us and nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And he says in verse 37, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are overcomers through Him who loved us. And then he says that, for I am sure that neither death nor life, angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I must remember that my strength, my victory comes from the Lord. And so whatever fear you're facing, whatever fear you're hiding, you got to come back to, am I looking to strengthen myself in the Lord? Am I going to trust in the Lord? Am I going to depend upon the Lord? Because you're probably going to feel like Gideon, hiding out in a wine press, feeling like everything's against you, feeling like the odds are totally insurmountable. And that's right where God can use you. It's through your weakness that God's strength can be seen. And so secondly, we need to remember that we have to start seeing myself. I have to start seeing myself as someone that God can use. Rather than thinking I'm just someone that God can support to help me get through the fears, God doesn't want to just support me through them. He wants to use me in them. God wants to do mighty things with your life. I think about Joshua chapter 1, where Joshua is feeling a lot of fear after the death of his mentor and leader Moses. And God comes to him and he says in verse 6, be strong and courageous. And he's going to repeat this message all throughout this chapter. Be strong and courageous. He says to him, do not turn to the right hand or the left. Let the book of the law not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. And then he will say to him again a third time, verse number 9, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. Someone has talked about, commentators and others, how one of the most often repeated messages in all the Bible, hundreds of times in the Bible, is this message of do not fear. Do not be overcome by your fears. Be strong and courageous. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, Zechariah gives us a great message as well when he says, The Lord said, he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by my might, nor by my power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. God's not going to do it by our own might, but by his spirit, by his blessings. In Matthew 28, verse 20, when Jesus gives the great commission, he says, lo, I will be with you always. He's going to be with us. And in Philippians 4, 13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want you to think about that, whatever it is that God is asking you to do, to face your fears, to face your giants, and whatever mission, whatever task, whatever objective that you feel God wants you to do to serve him, that God's going to empower you to do that. And it's through that weakness that you can depend upon God's strength. And you can learn that I can't do it on myself, but I can do it through dependence upon God. And so Psalm 33 is a great couple of verses from verse 16 and 18 to remember in this. The king, excuse me, is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. This week I read again and heard again the story of George Mueller. And I want to close with that story. George Mueller was someone who lived in the 1800s in England. And he grew up in some ways a wicked person, but then he discovered the Word of God and became a follower of Christ. And as a part of his preaching and teaching, he became convicted that he needed to minister to orphan children. And he was living in Bristol, England, and this was right after the kind of the time of the starting of the Industrial Revolution in Britain, and there was becoming a lot of orphan children, a lot of young children who were needy and poor on the streets. And he began having orphan homes and taking care of them. What's unique about his ministry and the fact that he was able through his lifetime, and he died in his 90s, so from about 1835 when he started taking care of children to the 1890s, he was able to help take care of some 10,000 children. 10,000 children through the orphan homes that he helped start. And what's unique about that is that he never asked for a donation. He didn't ask for a donation, and he never went in debt to be able to meet the needs. And you say, well, how did he do that? He's gone down in history being able to do it in a very unique way, and that is he prayed anytime there was a need. He prayed. To illustrate this concept, one morning, the kids, when their orphan home was kind of just getting started, they had a group of kids there, and they had come down for breakfast, a good number of them, and they had no food. And he said, well, we're going to pray and give God thanks for the breakfast he's going to provide, though we do not know how he will provide it. And they prayed, giving God thanks for that breakfast. And then after their prayer, there was a knock at the door. A baker down the street had some extra bread he thought they might could use. He brought it down. And a milk, now it wasn't a truck at this time, a milk cart had broken down close to them. And they were able to get milk. He donated milk for them to have at breakfast. And their breakfast was provided. That's what I'm talking about. Man's weakness, God's strength. Praying and trusting and depending not on ourselves, but upon what God can do through us. When we yield ourselves to God, when we fear Him, when we put our hope in His steadfast love. This morning, if you're not a Christian, let me encourage you to place your hope, to place your confidence in the Lord. If you need to speak to us about that, if you want to put Christ on in baptism, we can help you this morning do that. If you need to rededicate your life, if you need to come back to the church, we can help you do that as well. Please come as together we stand and as we sing.